tricks. She's a weirdo, oh yeah. She's da, da, crazy da, da, da. And she is old. I've put the album volume at such a level that I can't hear anything you're saying when you freestyle.
I can't hear anything you're saying either.
Which is an oversight on my part. Guys, welcome to Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we're the Gilmore Guys. Oh, I got a lot of gravitas there.
Got
at the
a
end.
Frog in my throat.
Got a frog in your throat, Deborah.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We got a shout out for how much people like the Raymond stuff.
Everybody loves frogs in their throat.
Deborah. Oh, man. So our last episode, our longest episode yet.
Yeah. So
we had a lot to talk about. But yeah. And by the way, if you guys don't like anything we're doing, let us know. Don't be nice about it. Just cut to the chase.
Yeah, please tell us.
Be mean on Twitter. Say, this sucked. Say, don't ever have this person on again, which I don't know why you would.
Yeah, don't say that. All of our guests have been great so far. Like,
yeah, in their own different ways. So I wanted to open up this episode with a segment called
What's Itching in the Mailbag?
What's Itching in the Mailbag?
It's a terrible name.
We got to get a new name. So give us a new name on Twitter. We're putting so much work on the fans, by the way, to be like, do this. Do our jingle.
Give us a format and tell us what to talk about here.
But regardless, what's itching in the mailbag today? I'm going to read a few. Some of them are episode specific. Some of them are general. This first one is from Elizabeth.
Elizabeth.
Sanford and Sons.
I don't. Okay.
I just said Sanford and Sons and pointed it.
Yeah.
Because, you know. You guys get it. From Elizabeth. Hey, guys. Love the show. One clarification from episode 110, which is forgiveness and stuff. Luke didn't actually whore himself to the nurses to get coffee for Lorelai. Right after he said that, he also said something along the lines of, no, the door was just open. So while not a big deal, it does take away from your theory of him doing anything to get the girl he loves coffee. So, all right, cool.
I was willing to walk through doors. So.
Thanks for killing our buzz, Elizabeth. Just kidding. Thank you for the note, Elizabeth. We appreciate it. This one is from Kyle, who may or may not be my brother, but he wrote into our email address, so we'll take it. He says, hey guys, love the show. I give it 4.5 out of 5 finger hair throughs so far. Because that was our rating system. Remember when Lane did it to the guy in the marching band?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and you gave, that was your rating for that.
Rich
what's-his-name? Chad Michael Mudface. It wasn't him. He said, quick question I was thinking about. Erasing what you know now, rank the top 3 actors you would have said back when the show was airing would go on to have the most successful careers post-Gilmore Girls. Surely Melissa McCarthy, clearly the most successful of the bunch, isn't in the top 3.
No.
Is she?
No. I would say it would be Alexis Bledel, Lauren Graham.
And who would the third one be?
Scott Patterson, or if it would be so. Kelly Bishop.
I would say I would think this would open up a lot of stuff for Kelly Bishop to do like fun character stuff in movies.
Yeah, but I would also I mean, obviously when this was on, I'd probably just be like, oh, the 3 people who are in the main characters.
Yeah.
But I like now, if I were watching it now and didn't have any knowledge of people going on to do better stuff, I would say like, I mean, Kelly Bishop probably wouldn't go anywhere because she's older.
Right, and because she, even for Bunheads, they had to like convince her to come back to L.A.
Really?
Because she lives on the East Coast.
Oh.
So she like was flying black and forth.
Hey. Black and forth.
Black and forth.
You got to stop pointing to me,
which
man.
You know what's funny about that is her flying back and forth? Jessica Walter did the same thing for Arrested Development Season 4.
Really?
Lives on the East Coast, flew back and forth.
I mean,
another parallel.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
That is very strange.
So, Yeah, she could probably do as much as she wants to. She won a Tony for a chorus line. She's a queen. This is from Jackie, spelled with a Q-U-I. Hi, I am no one of particular importance, but I've been a fan of Gilmore Girls from day one, and I love your podcast. Thank you, Jackie.
Thanks.
If you're ever in need of a guest, I would love to volunteer. Now, the thing is, we've gotten a few of these where people are like, do you want to have me on as a guest?
Yeah.
I'm no one. They say I'm no one. I'm not saying they're no one. Everyone's someone. Hashtag Sesame Street. But I was thinking about what would be like a format in which this could even happen. Even if it was like LA people, I don't know if it would be like a live show where like there's a fan segment where we go in the audience and talk to fans. I don't know.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm saying fans of the show Gilmore Girls, not fans of Gilmore Guys. There's probably like three of them.
Yeah.
There's more than three. But
No, it's the same three people just making up different names.
Yeah. That's
hey,
right.
I'm Kyle. Hey, I'm Jackie.
I like how Kyle was the high pitched one and Jackie was the low pitched one.
Dude, anyone can be anybody.
Transparent. So I don't know. I don't know if we want to give that any thought or like, let's have a contest. Like
that would be weird.
That would be weird. Okay, we won't do that then.
We'll figure it out though. We would love to have people on the show that I mean, would we? Yes.
I think, well, I mean, or I even have like a call-in segment. Would that be cool?
That would be dope, yeah.
Yeah, if we could set that up somehow, we'll Chelsea Peretti style. I'll ask her about it next time we hang out. This is from Elizabeth. This one's a little bit longer, so I condensed it down. Hi, this feels super awkward to write, but what's life without a fun dash of super awkwardness? So anyway, just, I'm saying just the way she writes it with four U's. Just wanted to say that I've become a huge Gilmore Girls fan because of Gilmore Guys.
Mm.
That's you. And gosh, I just appreciate that. And you guys. Seriously, really great job with the podcast. Blah, 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 blah. It's the kind of show that makes me want to take the host, that's you, I like she identifies us each time, out for a beer and hang out and shoot the shit for a couple of hours. I've actually had to stop listening to it in public, no exaggeration, because I talk back so much as if I'm a part of the conversation. Evidently, it makes people very uncomfortable in grocery stores when someone walks down the aisle muttering vehemently, no, 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 I totally disagree with your interpretation. So I love what you're doing, keep up the great work, and thanks for all the fish. Your pal in a very one-sided and theoretical but beautiful friendship, Samantha. Did I say this from Elizabeth?
Yeah,
I was
like, wait a minute. What's
twist ending. This is from Samantha.
Oh my
Sorry,
God.
Samantha. We know who you are.
Thank you, Samantha. That's so nice of you to say.
Then she says, P.S. Kevin, I love your three qualities you're looking for in a mate. I don't know if I said mate when we first did it. Remember from the
if
first
you did,
episode?
That's very weird.
Yeah, unless I was like, mate, but I wasn't.
In a mate, I only require a large wingspan, sharpened talons.
Anyway.
And a heart that won't quit. When you said autonomous, I exclaimed loudly, yes. No, this was on a train from L.A. to San Diego. My first inkling is that maybe I shouldn't listen in public. Anyway, that discussion has stuck in my head and something I thought about a lot. Is this weirdly intimate for fan mail? Should I not feel like I know you? P.P.S. Being concise is not my forte. So, Samantha is either really cool or she's going to murder me.
Hey, why not both?
I think she's a really cool murderer.
Right. She's going to wear sunglasses while she does it.
Yeah. Like American Psycho. Is that a good movie, by the way?
I've never seen it.
Neither have I. I feel like it's
It was my former boss's favorite movie, and every time he'd mention it, I just was like, yeah, man, totally get that ref. But I have never seen it.
I probably am not going to. I see vines about it, and I'm like, oh, I think I get it.
Yeah.
Like,
there's a murder.
Was it Trevor S. does a lot of vines about it?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Electric, Trevoso Electric?
Yeah.
Which he probably stole from you. There can only be one electro on
Vine. I invented the word electric.
Mm.
Anyway.
And then this last one is from someone who's written in before, Marlise. Hi, guys. It's Marlise again. This is going to be important. And by the way, I am a girl, and you did a pretty good job pronouncing my name. The second syllable is said like the word lease, Marlise. I was surprised in the episodes when you talked about black characters and didn't include Michelle. Since I'd always thought he was black. Upon seeing the discussion about it on your Twitter, I decided to look into it a little. So this girl's doing like research and stuff. It's amazing. I searched in both English and French for any references to his race or family background. And while there wasn't much I found mentioned on a few sites of Quebec, I found mentions on a few sites of a Quebec show he was on in which he played the black child of white parents. It was also mentioned the similarity to his own life having been raised by his white mother. This appears to mean that his mother was white and his father was black. Hope this bit of information helps. I'm still greatly enjoying the show. So even more mystery to the ethnicity of Michelle. Not mystery, but just more complication.
Here's the thing. I will say that I do consider him black just because it's like, I don't think they were like, oh, we don't like black people, so we're going to put this guy in just to satisfy them, and he's not yeah. really going to be black. But it's just, I think the problem is that they don't give any sort of dimension to these characters. Like, Michelle, as you told me, we don't know anything about him besides that he quips and is terrible at his job.
Right.
So it's weird, but that's just the town of Stars Hollow, I guess. And maybe it gets better over time, we'll see, but maybe it doesn't, and that sucks.
We'll see, but
yeah.
I've seen, and so we'll yeah. see. So that's been Itching in the Mailbag. Thanks, guys.
We should probably get to our kind guest who's been sitting in quiet for so
for
long.
12 minutes.
It's not Alexis.
It's not Alexis. Here's what happened, guys.
Monk style.
So she was actually in New York, and she said, guys, I'm going to Skype in to the show.
Which would have been great.
Which would have been awesome. We'll definitely, by the way, for future guests, we'll definitely take Skype in interviews and stuff. Like, you know, Gilmore Guys knows no time zone limits or geographical limits or literal limits. So she was going to Skype in, limitless Bradley Cooper. She was going to Skype in and do the show via Skype from New York. But then she said, oh no, I can't. But she got on Skype to say that. And then that's all she said, and then she hung up immediately.
What?
And then there was a busy tone.
So she logged into Skype. By the way, if you want to send her hate mail, her Skype account is LexisCool_69. Yeah. That's so weird that she would do that.
Yeah, I was really bummed about it. And just, I think the fact that she got on to say, I can't do it. I mean, she could do it. She just didn't want to.
Right.
But then she texted me. Well, it was a group text because you were on it too.
Right,
you saw it.
I got
and,
this text.
And she said,
as a matter of fact, we should say it at the same time, what she said.
Yeah, because she said, I'm definitely gonna do the show next time.
Yeah, we both
guys.
Did that. Guys. I forgot
poop
that part.
Poop emoji.
She did add the poop emoji. That was weird.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of her trademark thing, like we talked about.
She always signs
But
it.
You know what? I think our very patient guest is even better than Alexis Bledel.
Right.
If possible. But it is possible.
It is possible.
Because it's happening
she's
right now.
Proof.
Should we introduce her?
Let's.
Okay, let's do it.
La la, la la, la.
Our guest. All right, you know this girl from Twitter. She's a writer for Thought Catalog. Did I say catalog? I meant catalog. And she's got a book coming out this month called Does This Bible Belt Make Me Look Gay? Ladies and gentlemen, it's Krista Doyle.
Hello.
Woo. Krista and Doyle.
We should sing the guest's name.
Doyle. We should do that.
Yeah.
Oh, it starts again. I'm going to fade that
You
out.
Also know.
It was very hard for me not to chime in on those la-las.
Well, I encourage you to next yeah. time. That would be fun if, like, instead of playing music, we made the guests sing their own intro
yeah.
music.
Yeah, and we just sit here and like, introduce yourself.
Yeah.
I will la-la
just like Jay-Z
the entire time, so it's good.
All right. Krista, thank you so much for doing the show.
You're very welcome.
This is amazing.
I'm really excited about it.
Thank you for making this work with your schedule. Why do I sound like Obama right now?
Krista. You're, I don't have a
Oh, thing. That was like pretty spot on. Just that, like, just.
Close your eyes. It's like he's in the room. Krista, what?
Or open your eyes. It's like he's in the room.
Black jokes. BJs. I love BJs. Krista.
This show's getting derailed very quickly. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, right. Compared to 109, this is flawless. What is your relationship with Gilmore Girls?
We go way back. I started watching in high school and, been watching ever since.
So high school. So you were,
So like 11 years ago, probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on. So yeah, probably, yeah. Do you remember the season that you jumped in specifically? Was it season 3? Was
I
she in college?
I think I jumped in cause I would always watch the reruns on ABC Family.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. They
and
were.
I think, So I think I jumped in there like in one of the later seasons.
Okay, yeah.
And then from there, I like would go back and catch up.
Did you get the DVDs ever? Did you?
I think I have a few seasons, but mm-hmm. I don't have the complete set, mm-hmm. unfortunately.
So if you had to rate your own fandom on a scale of like 1 to 100 stars, hollows.
For Gilmore Girls, probably In the 80s.
In the 80s, all right.
80-ish stars.
That's a B. That's a B plus, maybe. Or B minus. So, well, let's get into the discussion of this episode. Episode 118, The Third Lorelai.
The Third Lorelai. Dun, dun, dun.
Netflix synopsis of this episode. When Lorelai's grandmother offers a trust fund for Rory's education, Emily fears losing contact with a financially independent Lorelai and Rory.
It's so weird that these synopsises are kind of terrible, but they just kind of give away, like, a very important part of the third act.
And for a show where there's not, like, a lot of twists and turns and, like, reversal, like, you could...
Right.
That was the whole episode.
Yeah.
So, Netflix, get it together next time. But before we get into the episode discussion, we'll start the way we do every episode with a little segment we call Pop
Goes the Culture. We're getting quicker.
Yeah, well, we went really long last time, so we're inspired to go even faster, shorter.
Double speed.
This is a supercut that we've put together of every pop culture reference in this episode of 118, The Third Lorelai.
Even Barbie ended up being a stewardess.
Pager never called my cell phone, and we can sing the money song from Cabaret. You can be Liza, I'll be Joel.
It's like that annoying Cranberry song. Boat or the Elephant Man's Bones.
One of those Hannibal Lecter masks.
Henry VIII started a new church when the old one wouldn't allow divorce.
Now the Gilmore clan is just as smart and worldly as the Kennedys, so come on.
Yeah. Oh, let them eat cake.
Rosie, how many times have I told you not to butt into other people's business?
Never.
It's gonna make getting Madonna tickets so much easier.
Stupid naked angel butts? What, did David Mamet just stop by?
Well, that could have been a potential Marx Brothers moment.
Oh, I have to change and go to tea with Gran and the cast of Gaslight.
Nietzsche?
Dawson.
Turn you from a sweet Sandy into a slutty Sandy, dancing at the school fair in high heels, black spandex, and permed hair.
Louis, I think this is the beginning of a wonderful friendship.
Who's Louis?
Just think.
It's like Fergie all over again.
It's like Fergie
all over again.
Okay, so this came out in like March or April of 2001. Was Fergie a thing?
Well, she's talking about Fergie the
Duchess.
Yeah. Not like Fergie. Not Fergalicious. Listen,
I don't blame
you for making that mistake. I wish she was talking about
Fergie. Because she talks about Korn in another episode. That's true. She
really?
References the band Korn. So it was boggling my mind. I was like, surely she's not talking about Fergalicious.
Dude, okay. Every time someone says Fergie and is referring to the Duchess, I always think of her first. And there was an episode of Friends, which we were talking about before, funny enough, where Fergie shows up. And I was very confused. I was like, that's not Fergie.
Right.
And I was like, oh, there's a different Fergie.
That's so. The only way I know who the other Fergie
right.
is.
Yeah,
is because Joey
Friends.
Met her in London. Like, that's it.
Did he try to hit on her? I'm sure he did.
Probably.
Weird.
I know they took a selfie, so.
The cast of Gaslight, that was the one that kind of stumped me.
Yeah. What was the one where she was doing the weird voice, like, Boris or something like that?
Oh, that's Lucy, You Can't Do the Show.
Oh.
That's Ricky Ricardo.
Right, right.
Although her voice
was terrible.
Yeah, it wasn't Cuban.
No.
What it was.
It was like Russian. I thought maybe it was Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yeah, she was kind of rocking all over the world. Okay, so the cast of Gaslight. Gaslight is a film based on the play Street Angel in which a man marries a woman and tries to convince her that she's crazy so he can steal the jewels in her attic. So she says, I have to change and go to tea with Gran, the cast of Gaslight. So just crazy people,
yeah.
I guess, right?
What was Let Them Eat Cake? What is that?
That's Marie Antoinette.
Okay. I'm like, I get very little of these.
I feel so
uncultured.
There hasn't been one episode where we've gotten every reference. And it's like, there have been many episodes where I think I get none of them. I feel like we were talking about this before. I think sometimes they just kind of, if we can make a reference
plug
here,
them in.
Yeah.
Just throw it in there. If anyone in the writer's room has a reference, put it in there. What other references are there? There's the Louis. I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Yeah. I had to look that up because I was like, people say that so much, and I know it's like a thing, but
common.
I don't know. I've never seen Casablanca.
I couldn't. Oh, see, I was about to say, I could tell you, I could pull the reference, but I couldn't tell you what it's from.
Right. I definitely looked
Casablanca.
It up.
You don't. Yeah. You didn't know that was from Casablanca?
I've seen Casablanca once, and I know the other lines, and I was going to say, frankly, I don't give a damn. That would have been wrong.
And Yippee-ki-yay,
play it again, Sam.
Yeah.
Right. And the Donald.
We're going to need a bigger Casablanca. Like, that's one of the most.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
We'll always have Casablanca.
Mm-hmm.
But yes.
That's actually in Casablanca.
I know. Which, double joke. No.
I love DJs and BJs. Oh, guys. Okay, let's open with the teaser. It's another Friday Night Dinner, which is like, you know, whenever they do it, they go one or two ways with it, which we've seen. It's either a non sequitur that has nothing to do with the rest of the show, and it's just like a little short film, like, hey, it's three women talking, cool.
Right.
And then sometimes it's that, which it was for the first half, and then there's something dropped in that affects the rest of the episode, which was the case here. And when Richard was like, Trix is coming to town, which, by the way, remember in one of the previous episodes, they were talking about her like, oh, she was a great broad, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
They,
like, she was
right.
dead.
Right.
It was weird.
She ain't dead.
Yeah.
She's very much alive.
Trix is kicking.
Trix is...
I hate that he calls her Trix.
I do,
way.
Too.
Really?
What a weird...
Every time he says that, I'm like, I don't get your relationship. Like,
yeah.
It's a little...
It feels like it's the kind of relationship where there would be like, no nicknames, my name is Lorelai, or
right.
Mother.
Right.
Yeah, it is, because it is very casual. I guess you're right. For
also,
someone who's so,
and
such
a
tight ass,
like,
yeah. Section.
Makes her sound like a prostitute.
Yeah.
It,
a little
Grandma
bit.
Candy over there.
Where, I'm wondering, like, I wish they would give a backstory. It's like, we call her Trix because
right.
this.
She likes the cereal.
Because one time I said, silly Lorelai, Trix is for kids.
Yeah. Weird.
Lorelai.
Is she English? Like, I feel like she tries to do an English act.
It's
she's definitely
weird.
Maybe
English.
She's just like Frasier English. I
yeah.
don't know.
Or like the Madonna thing where she just like moved over there and now she has an accent.
Right.
And like tries to claim it.
Mm. There's know. A Madonna ref in this episode.
There is.
So, good tie-in.
Totally did that on purpose.
There's such
really.
A weird POV shot in this teaser too where it shows it's a wide-angle lens shot from where Emily is sitting and it's like a... It's wide angle and you can see the rest of the table. And it's clearly Emily's POV, but they're all looking at Emily, but it's off to the side. It really bugged me.
I did not notice that.
I wasn't
I didn't
into
notice
it.
That either.
I did not notice that.
Not to pick nits, but I love how terrified Emily is too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Because this is the first time you see her like
right.
frazzled. Yeah.
You see her frazzled. You've seen her sad. You've seen her mad. But this is the first time
she's always
like,
so. Yeah.
I don't know. And then you know you got the first scene in the basement and she's losing her freaking mind.
Trying to get
yeah.
everything. She yells. She's like, "Where's the table that you
the
gave
damn
us?"
Dogs.
Yeah.
Was that my favorite line? Is she says, "Stop talking." Oh, she says, "Stop talking to the dogs."
My favorite line comes from Lorelai. We'll get to that later. But my favorite everything and my least favorite Lorelai is
takes
my
the
alpha and omega
whoa,
of this episode
whoa.
For me.
Dang.
I have so many feelings, both negative and positive. Anyway.
Can we talk about Christianity now? Is that a segue? Into our Christian segment?
Sure. How did I... What did I say?
Alpha and Omega.
I don't think... Okay.
That's the Lord, man. So, do you believe you're a good person, Demi?
I... If we're gonna... La, 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 la. Personal. What was it? La, la, la,
who cares?
La. Yeah, whatever. I don't think I'm a good person, but I think I'm trying to be, and
mm-hmm.
that's what is very important to me.
The trajectory.
Yes. I have actually been thinking about this a lot lately. God, this is going to be such a weird episode.
I love it.
People are going to be like, what the So anyway, I was thinking about this the other day. It's like, what do I think of people? Like, when I think of someone's value, how am I measuring that? Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's if you're a good person, because that's such a hard thing to
quantify.
Be.
Yeah.
And when you think of someone who's a good person, it's like they have to have either been like that all of this time, or they tried very hard, and like it was like a switch, like they just turned into that. And I think trying to be a good person is more important than actually being a good person, because it's like it's the desire to be better than yourself. It's the desire to not be like whatever. I don't even care because I'm gonna die one day.
And it's the capacity for growth and change,
yeah.
and being open to what's the word? Not self improvement, but just almost like evolution.
Yeah,
in a way. Yeah,
right.
All right, so let's vote. Is he going to heaven or hell?
Oh, it's up to me?
Come on.
Yeah, it's a, it, yeah. If
you choose right now.
If
your
we're both
soul
the Lord,
is in my hands. Listen.
I'm going to give it a thumbs up.
I'm going to, yeah.
I'll pay you $5.
Head on up there.
I'll pay you $5 to
head
let me go to heaven. All right, seven.
Yes. There we go. Okay. So, Lorelai.
Wait, where did why? Why did.
What?
Where did that come from?
Yeah.
Well, I just want to talk. I just.
Okay.
This is a Christian podcast, guys.
I was like,
with all
I
the
miss-
reference we make to the Holocaust.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to the Holocaust,
no,
by the way.
Oh, no. No.
You always bring it up, and then I remember to say, welcome to the Holocaust. But
it's like welcome to the terror dome.
Ben Seaman really did find us out when he was like, "Thanks for having me on your Christian podcast." This is a Christian. I don't care about Gilmore Girls at all. I just want people to know about Jesus. So that's what we're doing.
We end everything with a prayer that starts with, if you're out on the road.
Oh, we should do it in prayer voices this okay. episode.
That's how we're going to
we'll
this
think
episode.
About it. So Lorelai does a thing in this basement, mind freak with Emily. Is a mind freak, Chris Angel? No, but just in the scene where she personifies the dog. She's like, hey, what do you think about that? I find this is a thing she leans on a lot when she's like being cute and quirky, which yeah. is cute and quirky. Like, right. Granted to her, it's not adorable like fake Zooey Deschanel. But she personifies shit all the time.
Yeah.
Like in scenes with bookstores, she's like, oh, well, the pencils got mad at the erasers and now they're in a fight.
I love it. I yeah. love it.
It's my favorite thing.
Yeah.
I would love for the season seven twist of why it's so terrible. She wakes up in a mental asylum and all of these things. Like, what did the pencils say? What did the dogs say? Listen, get the dogs. They know.
Get the dogs. Then they go to the car scene where they're driving away when Rory and Lorelai are. It's so fake looking. Did you guys notice this?
Wait, the car scene?
Just like they're driving back from dinner after they find out. This is right after the basement scene. And I think it's so fake looking is because now it's in 16:9 instead of 4:3. Because the way they pan over to it, it would have been semi-believable if it was a full screen frame. But if it was a 4:3, but now in the widescreen, it just looked like, it looked like shit to me.
I didn't notice that either.
I just imagine Lorelai like gesturing wildly to drive like Toonses or something, just like waving her arms back and forth. It's like, ah, we're going in this
car. And then she does this thing. What is the genre of joke called? Where a character says two different things and the character responding says the same line in the exact same tone of voice. Because like this happened in this scene.
I hope she likes me.
She'll love you.
I hope she and Grandma get along.
She'll love you.
That feels like a genre of a joke unto itself, right?
Yeah.
I feel like I see that a lot. I just saw it in They Came Together last night. Welcome to the They Came Together podcast.
This is great.
Keep referencing it.
No, they came together. Now that you say that, like that does happen a lot. And she does that a lot, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
the same tone of voice delivery.
Yeah, they do that a lot. In the past episode, they did it, too, when she's like, can I borrow your blah? Yeah. Can you borrow your blah? Yeah. Are you doing this because I'm just out of my breakup? Yeah. It's not the same because it's just yes, but yeah.
But still, yeah, it's like the same genre. I don't know what you'd call it. And then you get to Chilton, and Rory and Chad Michael Mudface are just like cartoons at each other. They're just like, it's like so nervous. Oh, nothing's happening. They're on a circle.
I know they're trying to make him, like, they're trying to personify him as, like, getting better now. It does not work. I still hate him. I still want to push him in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's the worst. Wait, are you talking about the actor himself or the character?
Well, it started off as being the actor, but the character also got bad. It's the character.
Kate Spencer told us some things that were very unpalatable about Mudface. He's
I've heard when he cheated on Sophia Bush, that was it for me.
With like
Done.
A 12-year-old,
Done.
Too. I mean, not literally.
I was like,
it's
what?
Not Woody Allen style.
But she was,
but it
was like 18.
An 18-year-old, like, beauty pageant contestant,
she was an
right?
extra on One Tree Hill.
Ugh, like that's bad.
Like, just a background cheerleader. And then he,
That's like being in the army and sleeping with a civilian that you're supposed to be protecting.
Yeah, that's really weird.
It's not an exact analogy, but.
I get it.
Because, I mean, in that situation, it's like, well, that's not too bad, but this is weird and skeezy.
Yeah, weird and skeezy.
That's an officer and a gentleman. This is full on The Affair on Showtime now.
Guys, watch The Affair on Showtime.
This episode brought to you by The Affair on Showtime.
Mm. There's a reverse shot of two of the students in the study circle or whatever the hell it is. They don't have speaking parts, but they're amazing. I took a screenshot of it.
Show it to the audience.
Well, I'm going to show it to you guys just because it was such a weird cut and they have no lines, so it's very unmotivated. But it was just, where is it? Is it this shot? Yeah, just
Guys.
Oh, those guys.
They just kind of look out of it.
I think they do that a lot, where they just kind of show two people just like reacting,
like
just
reaction
to be like,
shots?
Isn't this weird?
Yeah, we'll post this on the Twitter, this
so many sweater vests.
Can we get those
so
two on the show?
I don't know who they are.
We have no way of finding
Maybe
who they are.
Maybe they have IMDb credits because sometimes people will do that. They'll put, if
it's
even
like
if they did background.
Extra
oh my gosh. I would love to have a background actor in every, the background podcast. Just like, what was happening in this? It's like,
Matt Gourley actually just started the background podcast. Have you heard about this?
No.
On Wolf Pop. It's called I Was There Too. And he just interviews people who were there for like famous scenes.
Actually, yes. I remember.
Really cool.
That's a cool idea. I gotta check that out.
Yeah. But it's a super cool idea.
Stole my idea.
Well, and then this is the second time, too, in the series that two characters have clumsily tried to go through a doorway at the same time. That's when he was like, oh, it's like, or she said, oh, it's the Marx Brothers routine.
When Sookie and Luke are trying to get in.
At Cinnamon's Wake, yeah. And why is Tristan so reasonable all of a sudden, too? Because when she talks to him, he's not like, hey, Mary. Like, he's yeah. like, okay, yeah. And he still makes sleazy jokes, but he's like, okay, you're right. Yeah, that sounds good. Oh, yeah, I will ask Paris out. He's just so level-headed, apropos of nothing.
Yeah, I feel like past Tristan would never have asked Paris out.
No. I want to believe he had some sort of car accident that wasn't shown and came back and his brain was all scrambled. He's like, I guess
a new outlook on life.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And then we get to the Independence Inn. They're on an Apple computer, one of those old iMacs.
One of the old ass iMacs with the UI that is just weird. Like,
it's so gross looking, right? Yeah. With like the colored bubbles and stuff.
Doesn't it make the sounds that don't need to be there? Like when the error thing pops up, it goes like boop.
Yeah. And I like too how in the scene Michelle types in, because he's like, oh no, you have to do it like this, Lorelai. And he types the keys like, he's like, he's just like slamming his knuckles on a keyboard. He does it like Stephen Colbert does typewriter stuff on his show. You know, when he's just like it's so crazy.
That's great.
Emily's panicked. It's wonderful.
Then they just drop that, right? Like, they don't ever solve the problem of the computer system being broken. Yeah.
They just needed a scene with Michelle.
Right.
I was going to say, like, that was so minor, I barely remember that even happening.
He's just got to get that SAG check.
Yeah. Isn't it weird how, like, Michelle is, Yannick Truesdale, who's great, is in the credits of the show, and then people with way more substantial things to do.
Jackson.
Like
Jackson, Paris, yeah.
Even, like, Richard, he's like, oh, special guest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know everything about that, but I think they said that one of the DVDs or in one of the interviews that it's a money thing. Mm-hmm. It's just like Edward Herman and Kelly Bishop being the most legit actors in the thing. She gets the and credit, which is like an honor, or it's like you get paid more if you get that.
Right.
And then special appearance is like the highest you can get paid for a guest starring role, I think. Or it's like the highest tier of it. But they want him in the credits, so they just put special appearance there, which it is very confusing because it's like, and then he doesn't always make an appearance in every episode. Yeah.
But when he's in an episode, he's mostly reading the newspaper.
Yeah.
And then, like, Lorelai, don't make a joke. I hate you, Lorelai. Rory is so sweet to serve up the alley-oop to Paris, though, right? When she's like, no, you should. And it's totally legit. It's not motivated out of anything that Paris would suspect that is. It's like, no, Paris is great. She's interesting. Yeah, she has baggage, but it's just very.
Which is why it's such a bummer when it kind of comes crumbling down.
I know. Yeah.
Should we, God, my throat is broken. Should we jump forward to that moment and then come back, or should we just wait until we get there?
To Paris and Tristan tumbling down? Let's go there.
Okay.
We can go there.
Paris has some weird problem where she can't express frustration unless she's yelling it and everyone can hear.
That happened. It was the same thing at the dance in a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
You had to tell everybody, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. No.
She walks over to Rory, literally like three steps away from Chad Michael Mudface, and goes, oh, so this was all a pity date? Because he didn't like it. And it's like, he's right. He's literally looking at you and hearing all of this.
In the background, not
it's like,
far.
If you wanted to try and salvage that, you just fucked it up yourself.
Right. And she was so embarrassed by the whole thing. So I don't understand why she further embarrassed herself by yelling pretty much in his face.
And then Madeline and Louise walk in.
Of course.
They don't say anything, but they just hear.
They just join her immediately.
They just gotta be there, so they also know, I'm sure, for some future moment of, I'm sorry about Tristan.
It's such a bummer. And then Rory says, oh, you're still not over summer yet. And then Tristan, this is a sitcom, goes,
oh, yeah.
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 The summer. That's it.
Yeah, I just wanted him to get like the shifty as a like, yeah, summer.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's John Lovitz.
That's who.
Yeah, that's the ticket. Oh, gosh. Okay, because this is actually a nice thing that Tristan did, right? Like, it's
pretty going out with Paris?
Yeah, like he gave it a shot and it came from a good place. And
yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was so uncharacteristic of him.
I wish like, just be, I mean, just because Tristan's a good personnel, or supposed to be a good personnel, it wouldn't be how it's supposed to go down. But I wish that it had been Paris being like, no, we work better as friends. And, like, that's the end of the Tristan curse, and he can just go onto One Tree Hill and get out of this fucking show.
Yeah, just like Lane realized that Todd was no good on that double date. If that could, the fact that he still has the upper hand, and while retaining some sort of moral high ground, like being a nice guy,
That, don't you think?
But he is an idiot by saying, like, you know, when Rory suggested it.
Well, even if it's out of the, like, even if Paris knew and mentioned it, that's such a weird thing to say.
Do you think Rory is in the right or wrong for saying, oh, Paris likes you, she's crazy about you?
I think
you
she was in...
Because that's a vulnerable thing to share. The alley-oop is good, and like, oh, you should think about Paris.
Yes.
But do you disclose also, she likes you a lot?
No.
Because I feel like I would not.
No. I would say, no, you should go. I think you and Paris work together. That's all you have to say. Because I don't think, I'm not going to use his real name, Mudface. I don't think Mudface knows that they've been hanging out more. So it's just the kind of thing where it's like, you know who I think you'd be good with? Tristan. And then he's like, Paris. And then he'd be like, oh, yeah, maybe. And then if he goes from there, that's fine.
Right.
But saying, like, dude, she's crazy about you. And then when he gets the 5 messages on the answering machine, it's like...
That bummed me out.
That bummed me out, too.
Because it's like, she means well. She just doesn't know.
She's a baby fawn. She doesn't know what to do.
She is a baby fawn. Her sweet little face in those scenes when she's like, yeah, we had a good time. We went to dinner. Maybe we can do it again sometime. Not the same movie, but blah, blah, blah. And she's just so tender and just like...
And then just immediately aggressive.
Yeah, it turns on a dime.
Unlike the other episode, in this time, I kind of felt bad for her doing that, where previously I was like, you're an idiot, quiet down.
Yeah, right. But this, it's like it's like a cornered animal. Like, it just comes from
it
such a place of pain.
It wouldn't have been so bad if he wouldn't have been in the room. Like, I could understand if she had gone out in the hallway and was like, Rory, like...
4 feet more.
Yeah.
But he's literally, you can see him behind
her. He's watching
what's
it happen.
Over there?
How about that?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Oh my gosh.
I think the development of Paris becoming Rory's friend, they're doing it very well. I thought it was going to be the kind of thing, like, she was so mean to her.
Yeah.
I was like, this is going to be the kind of thing where I'm not going to believe it. But like,
when they finally get together, they have a lot of integrity about like the dynamic of the relationships over time.
Yeah.
Like, Emily and Lorelai aren't just like bros all of a sudden. And same thing with Paris and Rory.
It's working though.
Are you going through it for the first time?
Yeah. He is.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So we're trying to do. And we've done pretty good so far. No spoilers on the podcast.
Gotcha.
There have been the kind of things where it's like, I'll be like, I hope that happens. You're like, we'll see. And it's like, I know now.
I need to get better.
No, it's kind of hard to hide that kind of stuff. Because it's also, there's so many things that's like, obviously that's going to happen. Like Luke and Lorelai.
I don't know, dude.
Shut up. Obviously it's going to happen. I don't know if it'll work out or if it will fail. But anyway. Let's not even speculate.
We won't touch it.
Don't touch it.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do, because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or ebooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace, so you can figure out who's visiting your website and why, and figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month, and it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
Jumped so forward, let's go back to where we were.
We have to go back, Kate.
We gotta go back.
We have to go back.
Where were we? Lorelai was coming. Emily was in a panic.
Oh, let's get into tricks. Let's just talk about tricks. Like tricks. At the beginning of Act Two, we're at Richard and Emily's. They get there, and Emily's like, "Do you have it? Do you have the coat rack?" And losing her mind still. And here's what I actually like is in this scene, Rory and Lorelai come in, and Trix says, "They're tall," which is exactly what Richard says in the pilot episode when he sees Rory for the first time in a long time. He says, "Rory, you're tall."
Really?
You remember that?
I didn't remember that. That's
a nice
connection.
Little observation.
I don't know if it is intentional. I feel like it might
probably
be, given how good
it
is.
Be. I think so.
Yeah. I would assume.
Yeah. I totally thought, like, because she was describing all the tacky stuff that mm-hmm. she had gotten for her, I thought she might be high maintenance, but I also thought she's probably just a hippie. Because I was like, she's like, this damn dog statue, and she was like a rainbow colored something. I was like,
it seemed like a hippie.
Right. Because none of the
piece.
Stuff was, you know, like classy.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was all really gaudy and tacky.
Yeah.
But I was like, Lorelai likes her, or likes that Emily doesn't like her, or something is positive
right.
towards her, but Emily doesn't like her. I was like, is she just a hippie? Is she more like Lorelai than Emily?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That's what I love about this relationship, too. And they don't really explicitly spell out this dynamic, but it's like a thing therapists say. I have a friend who's a therapist, and they say hurting people hurt people.
Mm.
So the hurt that Emily's received from Trix after all these years, and like just constant disapproval and constant like thumbing her nose at her and everything,
right.
she passes on to Lorelai, clearly,
yeah. right?
Right?
Like there's a direct through line. And then you see that with, I actually won't give this away, but you see that with other parental relationships on the show. That's
yeah.
kind of a theme. It's like whatever is the dynamic with these people, well, it came from somewhere else, and this is where it is. Like they
like
show
Lane
you.
Lane is going to pass on to her daughter.
Yes, exactly.
when she has pregnant in season 2
out of wedlock. Marion Ross plays Trix. She's perfect.
Oh,
I
yeah.
think she's so
oh,
great.
God, yes.
Yeah,
she is flawless. Here was what my thoughts were.
Break
on
it
this.
Down.
The actor is doing a great job
yeah.
of making me hate
yes.
this woman.
Yes.
But at the same time, and I don't know, I've seen them all.
It's like,
and
I
you've
hate,
seen them all. But
did she come back?
Yo, yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. yeah.
Think I was like when she came on, like at the end of the episode, I was like, if she doesn't come back, I'm done. Like I want to see this woman because I hate her so much, but I also love. It's I hate that I love her,
mm-hmm.
but I also. There's funny moments where she just like she takes down Emily and she can't come back at all, and I'm just like
no.
what's happening? It's
some of
so
these
weird.
Burns are amazing too.
Incredible
yeah, yeah.
burns.
She is fierce.
And she's so harsh, but then when she like has tacit approval, like, well, you had a daughter out of wedlock, but I do like self-sufficiency.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, like you feel good about it. You're like,
yeah.
One in our corner, man. So it's fun. And then the dynamic I love even more than Emily like being frazzled and losing it is that she is reduced to such a little girl. Too.
I know, and she's so good at that. Like, anytime she has to be vulnerable, whether it's sad or, like, freaking out like this, like, she's just so good.
Like, in the basement scene, when they're, like, getting the rug, and she's, and Lorelai says, do you need help? And she takes a beat, and she's like, yes, please. Yeah. And it's just like, oh,
I know, I just want to hug her this whole episode.
Yeah. I know. I should have told you to make a soundboard of this. But Trix says so sassily, I suppose I could just put these nuts in my hand.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Dang it. Aw, man.
Emily's trying so hard and she takes her down at every moment.
Just like, just such a simple statement, so understated, but just cuts her down.
Yeah. I love Trix in these scenes, actually. I really do, just because I think it's such a fun world to be a part of, because it's so distinct from other characters on the show. I think you can tell Amy Sherman-Palladino really enjoys writing in her voice, too.
Right.
So I love her in the scene, but I kind of hate Richard during the scenes.
That's what I'm saying. I can't handle his relationship with his mom because it's so weird.
And just and we talked about it before, his utter passiveness when Trix is just poo, poo, poo to Emily, and then he looks at Emily like, hey, what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
Like, that's the way it goes.
Yeah, he's just so, he doesn't care.
Yeah, because he's just so in love with his mom.
So, there's one scene, I can't remember if it's this scene or, like, later in the episode, but he's like, oh, I'll walk my mom upstairs, and then, like, you know, I don't know. It's just so weird that he's bringing his mom upstairs. Like,
yeah.
Hey. Well, that's season four. We'll get into that.
It freaks me out. I don't know.
And then the post-dinner scene, someone says, oh, how'd you like the dinner? And Rory's like, oh, yeah, I liked it. And she says, very good, Rory. I almost believed you.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, and when Lorelai makes the joke, I forget what they were talking about. But
she's
Lorelai
like
makes
old
a
comedian.
Joke.
Comedian. That's what it is.
And she's like, yeah, she's like, that was a joke, and then very good.
Yeah,
like no laughter.
And then she's
just
like, "Enough jokes for tonight."
Yeah,
at one
point,
and then she says a line I could not make head or tails of. She says, "I once traveled to a small village in Cambodia. I did not eat dessert there either."
Yeah, that was when she was like, "Would you like desserts?" Like, I don't know why she said that, but it was just kind of a, "Well, I'm not going to eat there." Oh, like I think it might have been
like a dig at like saying like. Cambodia. I'm not going to eat in Cambodia.
I thought it was like, it's kind of like the food in Cambodia. She's like, gross.
I took it as she was kind of making a dig at Emily.
I assume everything she said was a dig at Emily.
Yeah.
The perfect thing, her facial expression never changes. She's just like, this is me. It's like, I'm tired. I'm in love with Lorelai.
Oh, yeah, she's the best. Chilling on a Saturday, Rory brings clown-shaped donuts. Have you ever seen a donut in the shape of a clown?
No, that confused me. I was like, can we please get just a quick shot of that?
There was no
like,
close-up, too. It was on the master.
A lot of weird clown stuff.
They
clown
had hats.
Pillow.
Clown pillow, clown donuts.
By the way, the clown pillow comes back in the, is it this episode or the previous episode?
I don't know, actually. I didn't notice it.
There was a, you know how, okay, so in 116, when it ends with Dean breaking up with Rory, there's this weird shot where you see, it's like the entire house is dark except for this strong light on Lorelai's face. It's like a terrifying shot.
Right.
And then in the next episode, you see them on the couch again, and that clown pillow is just like making eyes with the camera.
Oh, God.
And it's just like, this is going to turn into a horror movie very
dang,
quickly.
Bro. Oh, my gosh.
That room is now just a terror room for
amazing.
Me.
Oh, gosh. Gush. The Nietzsche Dawson quote. Can we back this up?
Yes.
Is that really a Dawson's Creek quote?
Oh, wait, what was the...
Madeline says, blah, 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 something about the heart, something about dating. And then Rory says, Nietzsche? She has Dawson.
Dawson. I wouldn't be surprised if it's actually Dawson's quote.
Right,
Dawson's
that sounds
Creek.
Like something he would say.
Yeah. But also, it's just, if they were just like, oh, what does Madeline watch? Dawson's Creek. Fuck that show. Yeah.
Rory starts getting Paris ready for the date. She comes over with a shitload of outfits.
Yeah.
And they have like legit girl talk during this.
It's so sweet. It's I love them so much.
And then Paris looks good.
Paris looks great.
She looks great. But she is an alien in that, like, she brought note cards like, topic, what do you think about Syria or whatever it is. It's something crazy. But it's just like, you just live for those moments where it's like connection. Oh, you do like the outfit, blah, 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 blah.
Especially at the beginning when they're first kind of easing into that friendship.
Right. Before they're...
It's so good, yeah.
Before one of them dies. Sorry.
Rip.
Sorry,
Oh,
Vivi.
Man. Yeah. That's season 7.
Well, might as well be. Did you... By the way, did you watch season 7?
I haven't seen every episode of season 7. Okay. I did watch the finale, and I've seen, like, you know, a few here and there. But
I saw the finale. I saw the first act of the first episode. I haven't seen anything else.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to. Yeah. I think I'm going to... I will never watch it. And Paladinos haven't watched it.
Really?
Yeah. They did, like, a Larry David Sorkin thing, where it's like, once you're off your own show, don't watch it. Because if it's good, it's bad. If it's bad, it's bad.
Yeah.
You know? So... I think I may.
What if you watched it and you liked it?
I think there'd definitely be things to admire about it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is such a specific voice. There's no way to.
Yeah, I haven't heard very good things about
I haven't the either, season. But I've only heard from you.
You haven't heard from other people that season 7's bad?
Nope.
Oh, all right.
Back to the dinner. We have to talk about the big thing that happens is Lorelai offering a trust fund of a quarter of a
million.
Trix.
I'm sorry.
Get it right.
Trix. God, I hate that name. Trix.
Or you call her the third Lorelai.
Yeah, if I just say Lorelai, it's like, oh, what of the three Loreleis?
Yeah.
Trix offers a trust fund of a quarter of $1 million. And I didn't get that it was that much until she said it explicitly.
Yeah,
at the end. But it's like, they were saying, like, I thought they were joking. It's like, she could buy a house or a boat or go to Europe. I was like, it's probably like $10,000, guys.
Right.
And then she was like, oh, I just lost you a quarter of $1 million. I was like, whoa, wait,
oh, shit.
What?
Yeah, and that's the first time I think they actually said the value of it.
Yeah.
And when she first brings it up, Trix says, sorry, I'm going to keep calling her Trix. She says, loaning money is a distasteful business. Is it? I mean, it's bad when you're in crushing debt and the housing crisis and stuff.
Right.
I think she just imagines it as like poor people going, oh, I'll give you money back later.
I'll pay you for a cheeseburger on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And this is the scene that we're talking about when she first offers it up, that Richard has that little boy line. I believe you have soundboarded up, right?
Do I?
Can we talk about it?
Yes, let's.
Let's listen to it.
Well, you're never going to die. You're too stubborn.
You're never going to die. You're too stubborn.
Like, it's like, my daddy will never die. He'll live forever. He is 7 years old.
Yeah. He is.
And Herman sells it completely.
He
like,
really does.
Like this grown man just like, oh, mommy.
You're never going to die.
Can't handle it.
Who's
going to brush my hair?
And Emily is so sad talking about the money. Because this is how Emily understands the world. And it's like we see her... Like her show and her affection that she shows is monetarily based.
It is.
Like with the party, Rory, I threw you this extravagant party. It's like her love language because she's lived this kind of sheltered life
right.
from any sort of thing. So for her, it's so personal.
And because, too, I think like she never really had a steady relationship with Lorelai or Rory until money came into the picture. Like until they offered to pay for her school, then it's all of a sudden, oh, I get to see them. On a regular basis now. So now I feel like it became this thing of like, oh, I need to keep like giving them money and like to actually like buy their affection and relationship.
What I think is such a sad thing about that is that she never says to Lorelai, like, I think Lorelai would have been like, okay, I'm not going to take it. If she'd just been like, if she takes that money, then you don't need us anymore. If she'd said that, Lorelai probably would have been like, I don't think she would have joked about it. She probably would have been like,
hey, Mom,
I guess that's true.
When she's transparently honest with Lorelai, Lorelai responds in kind.
Yeah.
But there is one line, and they had just argued, so it wasn't like a sweet line, but she's yelling after Lorelai, like, it's terrible not to be needed. You'll see. Like, I feel like that was so sad, and Lorelai just, it was clearly about their relationship, and she just kept walking.
Right, which is the exact same thing she did in the dance episode. She's going to ruin her life just the way you ruined your life. She just projects, like, things onto people.
Right.
Out of fear, which is such a bummer. Yeah. And then Richard and Emily fighting about it. Oh, actually, you know what? Let's pick it up from, because we talked about Yeah, let's pick it up from Sugi and Lorelai at the plant place. See the troubadour again. Breezes in and out. I wonder, because he's at the beginning and end of such long takes in the town square. Almost exclusively, yeah, in the town square center, yeah, or whatever Stars Hollow is. I wonder if, like they do the take, and then, like, Lauren Graham screws up a line at the end, and then they have to reset. And he just, like, I wonder if, I don't know if he's singing live or if it's to track or not, yeah, but I just wonder what that process is. Like, okay, great. Oh, blah, 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 you know, and he has to do it again.
I just wish he was singing stuff like, then Lorelai went yeah, to the Gilmore's house, and the Gilmore's had...
Monty Python oh, style.
Yeah,
man.
Exactly. It's just like...
This, the way they use Suki in this episode upsetted me. Because again, she was only defined by her relationship with Lorelai.
Yeah.
Rather than, you even see in past episodes, when, even though it wasn't my favorite storyline, the way she was like obsessed with the food critic and like, no, I got to prove to you my
sauce is good. Yeah, just giving her some sort of dimension.
Something where it's not like, girl, you got to do this or don't do this.
I think they think they're giving her dimension by with the relationship with Jackson, but it's just kind of like, it's already, like, we know they're together. It's not her nervousness about it.
Right. It seems like a lateral move, except instead of like building or progressing. Right. And then she says, she says, I don't want her to go to Europe without me, because that's the plan. It's like 21st birthday. We're going to backpack across Europe. And she said, no, I promise you she won't. So, like, they're setting this up. It's such good continuity in the show, like, that, because they do stay faithful to the storyline. Like, we're going to go to Europe. Mm-hmm. They do stay faithful to it in future seasons. So it's nice to see that in retrospect being paid off pretty well. A lot of kissing hello and goodbye too in this episode.
Yeah.
Suki and Lorelai kiss hello and goodbye. I mean, I guess you do. I don't know.
No.
I mean, we don't.
Right.
I mean, do you with a lot of your friends or?
No. Can't say that.
She's very touchy. I think she kissed Rory on the lips in the last episode.
I didn't see that.
I think it's a high society thing, but like.
Yeah, because I could get it if it was with the grandma, obviously. Right. Sure. Or even with.
Even though they don't.
Yeah. Or even with like her parents, maybe. Like, but with your friends, I don't know.
It was strange to me.
Don't feel like that's a normal thing.
Emily and Richard are fighting. One of my favorite lines is Emily going, I can go louder.
Yeah, that was great.
And then she calls herself the Whore of Babylon.
I love it.
And then there's that heartbreaking line where she says, she'll never come back here.
And then you can see it on his face. Like, you can see him, like, understand, oh, this is why she's so upset. And then you see it on his face, too. Like, he believes it. And
he gets
so
it.
Sad.
But then he's like, oh, Trix is here. Never mind. JK. I don't care about
Trix.
You.
I hate
She says, I ordered a car. Women shouldn't
My
drive.
My favorite line. She delivers just like, I ordered a car. Women shouldn't drive.
I've ordered a car. Women shouldn't drive.
Just like it's a foregone conclusion. We all know women shouldn't drive.
What a strange perspective.
I love that they, like, in that moment, you're just like, oh, okay, we're not supposed to like her. But it's just, God, what a... She, going back to the argument they were having, I hate that the issue of the money thing is solved by her withdrawing that.
Right.
Because I wish it had just been... I wish Lorelai had made the decision to be like, no, I don't want it, but thank you. Because then... Or even Rory doesn't know about the entire episode, and I think it makes for a funny moment at the end where she's like, oh, well, I just lost you $250,000. But I think it would have been great if Rory was just like, I don't want that money. And it's like, why? And then I don't know what she would have said, but I think it would have been great for Rory to make that decision or for Lorelai to make a decision as opposed to just being like...
Right.
It being out of their hands because it makes them passive characters.
Right.
I get that.
It's just a dumb way to solve the issue.
Yeah, because it doesn't solve... It truly does not
solve at all.
Trix is just... Oh, yeah, and that lunch scene. Weird continuity, too. It's another widescreen thing where, like, in some shots of Emily, there's a waiter standing right behind her, just motionless, too.
Oh,
pretty sure it's not a crew member. Maybe it was. but standing motionless behind her, then he's gone, then he's there, then he's gone. Like, Kubrickian. And she's so slithery at the beginning of this scene. She's so, like, hard to pin down, like, what she's actually trying to communicate. And she should have just let it lie, and then she just ruins it. I do like how Trix just schools them, though. Like, I don't like it in the macro sense of, like, resolving the conflict, but I do like how she's just like, pfft.
Yeah.
Like, you want to do this? No, we're not going to do anything.
Yeah.
F you guys.
Well, you guys are fighting over this money, so forget it.
Emily is so genuinely upset and sorry after this. She's like, no, I am sorry. And she does, like, have sincerity.
Yeah.
But at this point... And I love Emily, but I'm almost beyond being able to care
really?
about her being like, No, I am. Because up to this point, like, why is she sorry? I don't know. This is the episode she most rubbed me the wrong way. It was actually just this one scene.
Yeah, I would agree. The only thing that rubbed me the wrong way was how she was kind of rubbing it in Lorelai's face. Like, oh, so, like, something that I said must have really, like, resonated with you. Like, okay. You
yeah,
have
like,
to,
calm
like,
down. Yeah,
yeah, you don't have
exactly.
to, like, rub it in her face. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
I don't. If she's so worried about losing Lorelai, she should really just be sympathetic to her at
right.
every moment.
Right.
Totally.
As opposed to just being like, I was right. Yes.
Yeah.
Touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I would kill to see Emily at a football game.
Oh, God.
Don't shut up.
Okay.
Don't do anything. Don't make fun okay. of me like it's about to happen.
All right. And then this is actually the most conventional ending they've had in, like, forever. It feels like it's not melancholy or weird or, like, on a silent note. It's, like, mm-hmm. the girls hugging and walking and talking at
Rare.
The end.
Yeah.
Super conventional. But I loved it. And how cool is it? Marion freaking Ross, Mrs. Cunningham, is on the show. You know, you guys watch Happy Days, right?
No.
Or you watched it?
Oh.
I've seen...
Well, she's Mrs. Cunningham.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I didn't even make that connection.
Just like a cool piece of TV history. She must be so freaking old by now. And that she's so
alive?
Good. She's still alive, yeah.
Good. She'll never die. She's too stubborn.
Yeah, she'll never die. Play it.
I should just have it.
Yeah.
Richard.
Well, you're never going to die. You're too stubborn.
Never going to die.
I also loved the other morbid line about, like, when she was waiting for them and, like, Emily just stands up so slowly and she says,
I shall die soon, you know.
I shall die soon, you know. I love when people get old, they just lord the fact that they're about to die over everybody.
Yeah,
and
I'll be one right. of those old people.
Same.
If I make it, yeah.
It's like, you won't give me extra rice on this burrito? Fine, I'll just die here then.
Yeah, old people love Chipotle.
By the way, Marianne Ross, she just, like, this character just sounds like a bad Sean Connery impression the entire, I shall die soon, you know. Like,
oh, you doing it does.
No. She, listen to this again.
Okay, we'll listen.
I shall die soon, you know.
I shall die soon, you know.
Okay, I can see it. I can see it. I can hear it.
It's the sounds like the teacher on Jimmy Neutron.
I will break you. I will break you, you know.
You know, they really should have cast Tom Hardy as Trix Gilmore.
Oh, my God, that'd be great.
Lorelai, I didn't know what would break first, your spirit or your back. Loading money is such a dirty, dirty business.
that would make more sense.
What a lovely, lovely voice.
By the way, The Dark Knight Rises sucks.
No, it doesn't.
Are you serious?
I'm fighting for it.
No.
Okay.
Dude.
We'll get into this on our Nolan Dudes podcast.
Yeah, Nolan Dudes.
Nolan Dudes.
I couldn't think of a good pun in time. No, here's... Okay, I... In this
30 seconds or less.
Okay. I recently had this thought because I just saw Interstellar with a friend and we were talking about how much good. People hate Christopher Nolan movies, and I think it's just a thing where people are more critical of him because they expect him to be a good director. I think The Dark Knight Rises is a fun movie. I think it's good. I think it gets its point across. I don't think it's I don't think it's brilliant. I don't think it's I think it has problems, but I enjoyed it overall. I think the ending is stupid, but I still enjoyed it and good. I think
Boom.
It's good.
Boom.
Wow, that was like 20 seconds
Nailed
too.
It.
I got 10 seconds. Okay, so.
Don't filibuster. All right, how do we rank this episode, guys?
What's the rating?
We literally make up a new rating every time.
New rating system every time.
What
so
do you think?
I'm going to give it, just because she's so freaking fun, and all this stuff with Emily I like, and stuff with Paris I love. I'm going to give it 4.5. I think the show's really finding its
groove
here.
4.5 what?
Clown donuts.
4.5 out of 5 clown donuts. Thank you. Well, now you have to come
up
with
your own.
You have
to go with your own.
Yeah, because we all have to do a different one.
I didn't know that.
I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 unanswered voicemails on a message machine. I couldn't think of the word. Yeah,
and
very
technically
sad.
5. Mm.
I know, but I can't give it 5 out of 5.
No.
Because it's got some problems. It doesn't, but it's just, there are points where it's slow and,
right.
like, the conflict is sort of stretched out, and then I hate that they don't resolve it.
Yeah.
It's just taken away.
Yeah, it's kind of a deus ex machina in a way, where it's just like, nah, never mind, I'm not giving you the money.
Right. Is she going to be put in a coma? Oh, never mind. She was fine.
Right.
But I give it that high because Trix is great.
Yeah.
And I can't wait until she comes back
and she will
obliterate. There's got to be a moment where Emily stands up to her, and I'm not looking forward to that because then Trix is going to be in a low place, and I don't want that to ever happen. Not to my Trix.
Yeah.
Not to your
They do some fun stuff with her coming up, so.
I can't wait.
All right, Krista, how do you rate it?
Dang, I'm so mad I gave away clown donuts. I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 weird dog statues.
Ooh, that's what I was going to do if I didn't do clown donuts. Yeah.
Man,
Stop
talking to the dogs!
You showed me a soundboard of that. I should have told you to.
Dude, I'm just going to, by the end of the, you know what? No, I don't. I won't have the time. I want to make a like just a mashup of all of my favorite lines in it. Rory,
oh,
that's better than my GPA.
Well, you know what I think about that.
Nice chicken.
God damn it. Nice chicken.
Damn, that's never happened before.
God, so many weird deliveries.
Woo. All right, well, Krista, how well do you know the theme song?
Pretty good.
Cool. I said cool like you were like a 6-year-old trying to tell me about something you did at school, and I was like, "He's checked out, mom."
Yeah.
Do you have anything to plug before we go? By the way,
Plugged my book.
Yes,
so,
tell us about it.
Well, it's not really Gilmore Girls material, but
we just talked about The Dark Knight Rises.
We did talk about Christianity earlier,
right?
But it's basically just about like I grew up in a very religious conservative environment in the South, in Louisiana, and it's about like being in the closet and coming out as a lesbian when you have grown up in that environment, and just kind of how crazy that is.
Right.
But yeah, it's called "Does This Bible Belt Make Me Look Gay?"
Which is a great title.
That's an amazing title. When I saw that on Instagram or Twitter, I was like, "Dang, girl, you nailed it!"
I like came up with it as a joke at first. I was like, "There's no way that my editor would be okay."
Krista, I came up with this podcast as a joke first.
He did.
True.
The story of this podcast, by the way, which is so funny because. On Facebook, you think when they announced that Netflix was going to release them all on Netflix, he made a status that was, would anyone be interested in doing a podcast called Gilmore Guys, where we go through the episodes of Gilmore Girls? And everyone's like, that's so funny. But yeah. And I was just like, yeah. And he was like, would you really? And we were like, yeah, let's do it. Yeah, let's do it.
Brilliant.
We had lunch one day and we were like, dang, we got to do this.
We got to do it.
You gotta strike when the iron's hot. Okay, but the book's funny, so that's one commonality, right?
Yeah,
or is it super serious?
Oh no, it's. I mean,
is it a dramedy?
I definitely tried to keep it lighter because you know it's already such a dramatic, serious subject. So it's just basically personal essays, you know, stories of me.
Where can people find you on Twitter?
At Krista_Doyle, Krista with a K.
And we'll tag you in all the stuff, but go follow her. She's great.
She's great. You guys followed each other before, right?
I followed you.
Oh, nice. Oh, I definitely looked you up. You have a ton of followers.
I'm very famous. No. He's taking a picture. That explains the weird silence. Shall we sing our theme song, or do you want to take this photo
first? No, I want to take a picture first.
Okay.
No. We can sing it. I'm just keep talking. I'm just trying to get focused.
Just
right
like
now.
A candid. Let's, yeah. You want to do a laugh? Like a candid
laugh?
Oh,
dang. This is going to.
Oh, my gosh. I love this show.
Gilmore Girls.
Oh, yeah. This is a little behind the scenes peek of what we do here.
I feel like this part is going to get cut out.
Krista, thank you so much for coming today.
It was so much fun.
We had a blast talking with you. Let's do it right.
All right.
MC Carole King.
Drop that.
If you're out on the road. So cold. All you have to do is call my name and I'll be there on the next train. Where you lead, I will follow anywhere that you tell me to. If you need me to be with you, I will follow.
Oh,
oh, oh. Where you lead, I will follow. Anywhere that you tell me to.
That was flat.
If you need me to be with you, I will follow.
Tricks will never die.
She's too stubborn.
Goodbye.